Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
To Foundation Friday, October 6, 2017. Steve Cypress here. And I start off by sharing my rhino of the day. And actually, I believe there's a rhino wrapped in this paper. Don't know what it is. So we're going to open it up and find out together. Yeah, even though I moved about 2 years ago from Chicago to beautiful, spectacular day here in sunny Arizona, as I look at the Purple Mountain majesties and the sun about to set in the distance. But I still have boxes and boxes of rhinos that I have yet to unpack. Back in my, where I lived in Chicago, I had the entire finished basement as my office, almost a couple thousand square feet. So I had all kinds of, I had a whole studio set up, and I had 14 bookshelves, floor to ceiling, full of books and courses and tapes and programs and all kinds of materials. And then I had several more bookshelves full of rhinos, and I had rhinos all over the place. So actually, this place is even bigger. It's nearly 3,000 square feet in this beautiful house that we're living in. I have not taken the time yet to deck it out in lots of bookshelves and take the rhinos out and put them all over the place. So thanks to recording these videos, thank you for indulging me. My rhino of the day is getting me to unpack some of the rhinos, which I do before each video that I shoot every day. But today, I decided to use what's known as the curiosity approach, even to myself, and not open this up. Now, we'll say that a few of these that I've opened weren't, in fact, rhinos. They were like bobblehead of me and things like that that I packed up, but weren't rhinos. So let's see. I think I've opened up all the bobbleheads that I had, and this ought to be a rhino. So we will open it up together. It's kind of heavy. Makes sense that I would pack it. Seems like it's some kind of stone. Right, we have more papers within the... Oh, it is indeed a rhino, and it's a beauty. Check that one out. This is... Now, see, I'm unprepared to describe it because I have not even seen it in a couple of years. How cool is that? I love this rhino. This is some kind of a white stone, white pinkish stone. I forget what it's called. But it's a beautiful stone-carved rhino. And I don't see even anything on the bottom that tells you where it's from or what it's made of. But how cool is that? And, oh! I got to recheck the plastic because I just noticed that my packing was not as well done as I would have hoped, because you can see it was a two-horned rhino, and the larger main horn in the front is broken off, which is... distressing. So let me get back into the wrap. And now I don't even see it in the wrap, so it must have even fallen out. After the video, I'll go check in the box for it. The missing rhino horn. Now, hopefully, that doesn't mean a poacher came along and got into my boxes in one of my spare rooms here and dehorned the rhino, because poachers are famous for doing that. But actually, when you do that, it kills the rhino. This one is still doing fantastic. And that's one reason the rhino is the symbol of the entrepreneur, of you and me. I hope you're an entrepreneur if you're watching, because even we got thick skin, and even if you smash, take our horn off and smash our rhino, and now I see another little chip here towards the bottom here, a little chip in the bottom near his leg. Man, I got to get better at packing these rhinos if I'm going to be moving around. So he's still doing great. It's still charging towards his goals, like I hope you are as well. So, curiosity approach, that's the topic, go figure, of today's Foundation Friday. And as I warned yesterday to those who follow me daily in these videos, this is not your average, typical Foundation Friday. It's a much more advanced tip. So, but I realized that back when I named every day of the week for these videos, I didn't name any for advanced tips. But this one I do want to share because it's an experience that happened. It just happened recently on Facebook.
And so I want to share the results because they were quite interesting and quite telling and even beyond my expectations of how well this worked. So I'll let you know. And Annette is here, Donna. And Nathan's here. And repair it with molten gold Japanese style. I like it. I don't know what that means as far as Japanese style or how to even repair this with molten gold, but I love the idea of have a stone and gold rhino. Okay, so speaking of gold, this was a post that I'm looking at. I got my Facebook page here up on one of my other monitors, and it is viewing a, looking up at a shot of the Mandalay Bay, the infamous Mandalay Bay Tower Hotel, which looks like gold. So who knew? There you go, Nathan. Man, I'm going to have to read all that later, but it's something about golden repair, Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with lacquer dusted or mixed with powdered gold. Love it. I might actually look into that. See, now there, that's the spirit of the entrepreneur and the rhino. You turn the negative into a positive. Oh, yeah, he's missing a horn? No, he's about to get a gold horn. Kind of cool. Anyway, so, or perhaps just have a little gold stripe if I find the horn, which I think I'll find it in the bottom of the box, and I have them put something, you know, seal it in. Maybe I'll use gold to do that. Anyway, let's get to the point here. So this is an article that I took from a website, which would give a clue to people who didn't take it. Maybe they just don't know. It's called Reason.com, and I have their subscribe to their magazine, which I know I was just reading one of the issues, so it's around here somewhere. Sometimes I keep these and I stack them up and I go back and read them. And here we go. So here is an issue of Reason Magazine. That's actually kind of something on the cover added on. I can teach about that too in direct mail. But this is the actual magazine, Reason, and you can see the subtitle. It is for free minds and free markets. So this is an extremely reasonable, sensible magazine full of fantastic articles about freedom and the lack thereof in certain cases here in the United States and abroad, and it brings to the attention of people all kinds of good things that are happening for free minds and free markets and some not so great things that are happening for free minds and free markets. So because I subscribe, I also get their daily email, and this article came along the day after, I believe, this whoever he is, lunatic for whatever reason, decided to kill lots of Americans, and probably there's some people not even from America there, although I haven't heard that. But so here it is. The title of the article that people could click on to read, and I don't think I even, yeah, I didn't, I purposely did not write anything with it. Usually I'll write at least a line or two or maybe a paragraph when I post a link like this, give my little take on it. But here I said, oh, check this use of the curiosity approach, which I thought is brilliant, and I'm going to share why it worked with you. So the title of the article is, How Could Anyone, and it's a question, right? It starts with how. How could anyone deny the need for tougher and more stringently enforced gun laws in the wake of the Vegas slaughter? So I'll read that again. And anyone, you can go to my Facebook page, Steve Cypress. I have no privacy settings on anything. Go check it out. How could anyone, social media, right? We think it's antisocial to put privacy on it. So anyway, how could anyone deny the need for tougher and more stringently enforced gun laws in the wake of the Vegas slaughter? Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like it's going to be one of these off the wall, we want the government to control more of our life type of articles, which those pro-government control, disrespect of American citizens and themselves, since it's usually American citizens that believe in this, not, I can't believe it, they're otherwise smart people, but they somehow believe they're so feeble that they can't even control their own lives, so they're always looking for government to solve every problem and control everything. However, that's the opposite of the viewpoint of a magazine with the title Reason. Of course, because that is an unreasonable, ridiculous position. And Reason is all about free minds, free markets. So freedom, the opposite of government control, right? And yet the article suggests and hints at, it asks the question, should there be more government control? Now, again, if somebody had seen the link, the website, the URL that this came from, they would know right away, like I did when I saw it. My first take was like, what? So who would possibly be in favor of more stringently enforce gun laws and more tougher gun laws, more, in other words, government control of our lives, who would be writing that on Reason.com, Reason Magazine? So but other people, I don't think they saw where it came from. So that's rule number one for another day, but a tip, whenever you're reading anything, and the great Howard Berg, the world's fastest reader, a good friend of mine, I've had him speak at four different times at my events to entrepreneurs and to help the entrepreneurs out to read faster. And that's one of the tips Howard gives. I'll just give it here that he shares. One of the tips to speed reading is the first thing you want to do is check out the source of the material and try and find out the point of view of the author, because that will help you to speed read through it, to get it through your mind quicker when you understand where he's coming from, so you're not susceptible to what happened here and being fooled. So just about everyone was fooled by this headline, including me originally, until I realized it comes from Reason.com. This cannot, is, and I recognize this is a question. It didn't say, well, now you can't possibly deny the need for tougher gun laws, for more government control over your lives and telling you what to do because you're so weak and feeble, you need the government to tell you what to do all the time. By asking it in the negative, how could anyone deny the need for tougher gun laws? It makes people believe that this would be a pro-tougher gun laws, more government control article. However, of course, I think I've already given it away, it was on Reason.com, so it's not pro-government control, as if we are weak, spineless human beings that can't control our own lives. It is for more freedom. However, look what happened. Oh, I got to click on the more comments. So many comments came on, probably about 100 altogether. And again, you can go to my Facebook page and read them. But look how it fooled. And it's taking a little while with my sporadic and horrible internet connection. It is spinning and spinning. I apologize that I did not click on this before I started the video. I didn't realize there were so many more comments. Here we go. First person, a client of mine and a leader in the Second Amendment organization, and he's written books on hunting, and he takes people on safaris, and he leads hunting and shooting, and he's won awards and trophies and tournaments and whatever. So his first response is, that is an excellent article. So kudos to Jerry Ace Luciano, who actually read the article before spouting off a comment. But then, right away, the spouting off without reading began, reading just the headline. That's the lesson for Foundation Friday today. People will read just the headline. Just because you post something on social media or put it on a blog or mail it out in a newsletter or put it on your website or talk about it, like get up and say, I've got something to say about this at a cocktail party. Just because you have a message doesn't mean people are going to read it. People are going to listen. They're going to click. They're not going to open your letter. They're not going to read your letter. They're not going to read your blog post, your emails. They just don't. But they could read the subject line in email. And over 90-some percent of emails, that's all that's ever read is the subject line, just like here. The title, the headline of the article is all that's read. And people, I'm only going to share with you the people that posted comments. Who knows how many people saw this and thought of something but didn't even post it. I'm guessing that, and from the looks of these comments, many, many people were misdirected by the curiosity approach in this headline. Brilliant. In this case, and I'll explain why. So the next comment says, hey, the guns were illegal. It's a mental health issue. So right away, arguing with even the thought of stricter gun controls has nothing to do with guns. It's a mental health issue. Got a response to that one from another colleague of mine, extremely sharp entrepreneur, Diane Conklin, who says, actually, based on what the ATF and the undersheriff said last night on the 6 p.m. press conference, all the guns were legal. The clips he used to modify the way the gun shot, making them seem more like automatic weapons. And then the guy, that commenter replies, modified to automatic is illegal. So now he didn't read the article, and now he didn't even comprehend the comment, the reply to his comment. And there are a few more replies, but I'm guessing I'll get a circle. So I'll move on. But you see, there's somebody who did not read the article, but felt the need to comment. About something the article doesn't say. Next comment, Diane wrote back, it stopped spinning. Yes, I know, again. According to what they said last night at the press conference, the ATF and the undersheriff both said the guns were not illegal. That's the official stance. Then I chimed in. The official stance is that the guns were not modified to automatic. They were modified to mimic automatic firearms, which is, for now, perfectly legal.
To which the original commenter said, which fired automatically thousands of rounds in 11 minutes, whatever that means. And then I said, which is why the item used to modify those guns is likely soon to be outlawed. And that's all you hear these days is bump stocks and whatever. But, you know, there's what a token gesture to outlaw bump stocks when there's, like, all kinds of ways to illegally modify weapons, cars, refrigerators, pretty much any implement on earth. You can customize and modify it. You're not going to stop people by outlawing one way to do it. And you're not going to outlaw, stop criminals from doing it, no matter what you say. Of course, they're criminals. Oh, and then I said that. It's like soon to be outlawed, which won't stop criminals and deranged lunatics from continuing to use them, of course. And then, now we had this deranged lunatic, lefty loony derangement person coming on, and he started blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, the legal semi-automatic rifles were mimicked automatic, perfectly legal, thanks to Republicans. So this person is deranged and somehow believes that there is some kind of difference between the two major entrenched parties, when, of course, there isn't. There's basically no difference. Not to mention that it was a few years ago that the ATF approved this thing, and that was under a Democratic president, not a Republican. So it was his ATF that approved it. But anyway, next comment. Ah, now that commenter, now he reads the article, I'm guessing, because now he comments, the title is deceiving. People must read it to understand. Novel concept. Novel concept. Huh? This is where the statement comes, don't judge a book by its cover. You know why that's a saying? Because people do. Everyone judges the book by its cover. They judge the article by its headline. They're going to judge your email by the subject line. They're going to judge your sales letter that you mail by the envelope you send it in, and whether it's a meter stamp or a live stamp, whether it's a handwritten address or a printed address, they're going to judge things superficially without really seeing what it is. So that's we all do. We get our mail, we go to the mailbox, we look at our mail, we go, that's junk mail, junk mail, junk mail. We didn't open it up and read it to see it's junk mail. We just judged it, prejudged it, basically, that junk mail. So that's what happened here. The dawning comes on this commenter, hey, people must read the article to understand it. Go figure. Because in our social media world, see, here's the point of Foundation Friday. In the social media world, we're conditioned that all we really need to do is read the title of an article to know what it's about. And then we can start spouting off and trolling and disagreeing and being angry and all the good stuff social media is for. And when it comes in an email, we can go delete because we now know what that person said because of the subject line. We prejudge and prejudge. But this was a brilliant use of the curiosity approach by this author or whoever wrote the headline. Very often, writers do not write the headlines. They're separate headline writers on the staff of every newspaper, magazine, and whatever. So whoever wrote this headline exam is rolling on like the second comment, third comment here. And my response was, because, you know, this person says the title's deceiving. My response is, in marketing circles, we term this type of headline one that uses curiosity. The general public simply thinks it's, quote, deceiving. So that's the point here. I didn't say that this is all about the deceiving approach. I don't believe in deception. But I certainly believe in the curiosity approach. So it wasn't deceiving for me to open my poorly packed Rhino and find out just at the same time you did what Rhino, in fact, happens to be in it, and in fact, that it's got a chip and a leg and a missing horn, for crying out loud. I didn't know that myself. That's a curiosity factor. I would never think that's deceiving. Well, gee, I said, I'm going to open this up and there'll be a rhino in it. I guess I could be deceiving because I didn't say it's a rhino with a broken horn, which almost defines a rhino. So it could not be a rhino, therefore. Anyway, we call that curiosity, not deceiving. And by the way, I think I did say here, a hint, it's a question, not a statement. See, question. How can it be deceiving? It's a question. So this happens all the time. I'll get off on a tangent again real quickly, and then I'll get back in sales. The way I teach sales and I do sales, it's all about asking questions. And since I'm a consultant, I got to ask a lot of questions before I can even offer any help at all or even consider ever going further and taking someone on as a client and really helping them out. Past the superficial first help that, of course, I always give. And I ask questions. Well, asking a question isn't deceiving. The question was, is this the right time? Or what did it say? I got to scroll all the way up here. How could anyone deny blah, blah, blah? It's a question. So how can it be deceiving? People can be leading and therefore, again, seeming to the unwashed masses, to the uninitiated, to the people that don't watch my videos, read my books, not my clients, don't follow me, don't understand marketing and human behavioral psychology and think, oh, that's just deceiving because I thought it was going to be a pro-government control article. Again, he didn't look at the URL. He didn't read the article. Both would have been a clue that it is obviously not a ridiculous article in favor of government controlling people's lives. Last I heard, this is supposed to be government of the people, by the people, for the people, not government controlling the people. I didn't hear that one in any declarations or constitutions. I haven't heard that concept, although if you know, modern politicians and unfortunately brainwashed millions of Americans believe that that's the way things should be. I digress. So, and then this commenter replied to my reply and said, quick scan of the title without clicking looks like opposite of content. Interesting. So now he understands this is an interesting technique that this author or the headline writer for the author has used, because a quick scan of the title, which he clearly did, media invites us to do anyway. You scroll through, you got 7,000 tweets and 400 Facebook posts, you got all kinds of stuff to look at. And email, speaking of email, we get hundreds of emails a day. Yeah, we're trained. We train ourselves. We do our quick scan of the headlines. This is a lesson, again, for you out there, people fighting for people's attention. It's all they're going to give. They're going to do a quick scan of your email subject line or of the outside of your envelope before they decide this is junk mail or something I don't want to see. They're not going to read all the messages. You paid some copywriter a lot of money to write, or somehow you learned, took you years and lots of trial and error, more error than trial, to learn how to be a good copywriter, and then they're not even going to read it if you don't get good at getting them to read it, which the curiosity approach is one of the best ways of doing, especially if you want to do, in this case, what I'm going to teach once I get done with the rambling explanations here of what happened. So I replied to his comment, now it's interesting that the title makes it look like the opposite of the content. That's interesting. My response, interesting and extremely effective. This technique, and that's what today's Foundation Friday is all about, this technique is used at those who wouldn't normally read the content to check it out. In this case, people who favor less personal freedom and responsibility and prefer to be more controlled by the government, click on more, oh, okay, that was quick, will click on this link, assuming they would be led to a friendly article that confirms that point of view. Then, so you see what happens. I think this is a pro-government controlling my life, clamping down on my personal freedoms article. And therefore, because I have confirmation bias, I want to read things and only associate with people who all, you know, watch whatever channels on TV and read whatever blogs that all just say what I believe already. I never want to open myself up to another point of view. I just want to hang around the same closed group that people that all think the same, talk the same, react the same to everything, so that I never grow and I never learn. That's what most people do. So this interrupts that by suggesting to anyone looking at this that would be anti-personal freedom and pro-government control would now think, ah, this is a friendly article that will confirm my opinion, let's click on it. And so what happens there is, once the author has their attention and gets them to click on it, he can proceed with them with a point of view they would basically never be introduced to. And that's the point. He has a point of view here that his answer is any reasonable person. Again, the question is, how could anyone deny the need for tougher gun laws in the wake of the Vegas law? And the answer is, this is how. See, that's the article answers that question. It says, how could anyone deny the need for tougher gun laws? And then the article goes on to explain all the reasons how anyone with a clue can easily deny the need for tougher gun laws. So it's brilliantly done, because he doesn't want to just speak to the same people that believe in more personal freedom all the time. He wants to draw some people in that believe in this government control. That's what happens, because as this poster put it, because because the without clicking on the article, you're misled to believe this is a anti-freedom article and pro-government control. You're alleging you need politicians. I mean, they're some of the most non-trustworthy, dishonest. What's the approval rating of Congress? Like single digits, right? So you really believe they should determine what you can and can't do in life? How ridiculous. What a strange, ridiculous concept. So he's now drawn people in. And then I added, and this is where I'll end, this is especially important in our current media environment, I've been saying this, where a huge number of people choose to expose themselves only to people who believe the same way they do, thus contributing to their increased ignorance and anger. See, if you're only going to pay attention to all the liberal channels that are following the Hillary Clinton's excuse-ridden tour, and with glowing, oh, she's right, and she's great, and she really shouldn't go away and shut up because, you know, the Russians hacked the election and Jim Comey's fault for whatever, and it was this guy's fault and her fault and his fault and his fault, but me? No, it wasn't my fault at all. And in fact, it's an illegitimate election, and you're all idiots for voting for him, and that could never really happen. So, you know, it had to be, you know, if that's all you pay attention to, then that contributes to your increased ignorance. You have information incest, where one person says something, and the next person says the same thing, and the same thing back, and the same thing back, and each generation, just like real incest, gets stupider and stupider and more mongoloid and stupid until you're all just looking at each other going, we all believe the same way, we never even open our minds to another opinion, we're all idiots, and boy, is that just pure stupidity. So I, on the other hand, as you can see from who's clicking on my thing here and commenting, I have friends from all persuasions, conservative, liberal, pro-government, controlling our lives, pro-personal freedom, you name it. I mean, I grew up, people who follow me, I grew up in the Northeast in New York as a surrounded by nothing but left-wing liberal-itis. I also went to elite U.S. colleges, full of elite professors, socialist professors, all kinds of crazy socialist elite ideas that, you know, government should do all the things and don't let people do their own things. I mean, they might even elect somebody that isn't Hillary Clinton. Go figure. See what idiots they are? So that's the environment I grew up in. My mom, who went to Berkeley, which is still one of the most whacked out liberal institutions, so you know, I was around all these people and brought up, so a lot of my Facebook friends and friends in real life and family are all whacked out loony liberals. And then I have a lot of friends who are very successful business people and entrepreneurs who are, of course, going to tend to be more freedom, more personal freedom minded, right? It's entrepreneurs. We're our own boss. We believe in personal freedom and personal responsibility. And if something goes wrong, we take responsibility. We don't say, oh, it's Jim Comey's fault and the Russians hacked me. And we say, it's my fault that I let the Russians hack me, if that's what happened, right? So Equifax guy would say, man, we got hacked because we didn't have the right security in place. Not, we got hacked and that's why our stock price tumbled. Like, it's their fault, the hacker's fault. Like, seriously, liberals, Hillary Clinton leading the way, are blaming the hacker. And not to mention, there's lots of evidence that it wasn't any hacking at all, but one of her top campaign aides having as his password, the word password! You don't have to hack that, by the way, you idiot. But anyway, I digress again. So there it is. So now we see other people coming on here and going, oh, now here's a talk about childhood friend. Childhood friend of mine, and he also didn't read the article because he says, by this logic, Chicago should be the safest city in the world, strictest gun laws, not exactly. And I'm, by what logic? I'll just bait it here instead of call him out on you didn't read it. So I'll say, by what logic? And then he clarifies, the logic of gun control legislation, which again is what the headline would lead you to believe was the point of the article, and the article was in favor of government control. And so my response, I'm guessing you didn't read the article. I suggest it's worth the 5 minutes, and likely for him, very intelligent person, about 2 minutes to read that whole article. But for one click in 2 minutes, you can see, people will not even read the article. Okay, that's my point. You think they're reading your emails? You think they're reading your sales letter and your newsletter and your website and any of your marketing? That you think they're reading your ad just because you paid a lot of money to place it in on a website or in a magazine or a newsletter or a billboard or whatever? You think they're reading it? Like, Welcome to the real world, if that's what you thought. And then he responds and says, oh, now you can see he read it. I'm guessing you're right. I said, I'm guessing you didn't read the article. He responds, I'm guessing you're right. Sorry, been seeing too much of the other argument. So now he's even apologizing, which is no need to apologize, but he's like, he flew off the deep end just at the title of the article because he's seen too much of that BS that otherwise people that think they're intelligent, capable people think they should cede all the power over their lives or much of it to the government, to inept and corrupt politicians to decide what they can and cannot do. So he's seen so much of that, and this is like the day after this event, and already all the loony liberals were out, weren't they, with their, oh, see, it's the fault that government isn't controlling your life enough. That, as if that would have stopped or could ever stop one lunatic from going up into a hotel and shooting all over the place. Like, get a clue. And so then here's another liberal loon who puts, I live in Chicago. It's not really or totally a guns bought in Chicago problem. Many of the gang guns are brought in illegally from Indiana with much looser restrictions. Completely, like, not only off the rails lunatic, but of course unsubstantiated hearsay, you know, off the cuff, nice try, but there's nothing to support that at all. But then my response is, dude, let's go back to the real world. My response is, criminals will always find a way to get guns, knives, pressure cookers, box trucks, hammers, fertilizer, and any other tool they want to use to commit their crimes, regardless of whatever governmental restrictions are put into place in whatever jurisdiction. And I got no response from that lefty loony. So don't tell me this, oh, the problem in Chicago is because of the laws of other states, you see. No. The problem in Chicago is soft targets. Way too many people unable to defend themselves. And of course, it's a city of millions of people with only thousands of cops. You do the math, the criminals are way outnumbering the non-criminals. And since the non-criminals, like this guy, purposely, irresponsibly, do not own a firearm to protect themselves, there's a lot of murders in that city. But I digress again. Anyway, this goes on and on. Another one. 4 replies, 10 replies, 4 replies, 9 replies. On and on. So that's the brilliance of the curiosity approach here. The author has an article in a magazine and on a website that he's writing to pro-personal freedom people. So that's who's always reading that. And the headline writer or the author says, you know what? I'm going to draw in some people who believe this is going to be a pro-government should control your lives, you idiots, type of article, because that's what they, for some reason, believe. They put themselves down. Anyone that is pro-government control is, of course, putting themselves down as incapable of controlling life. Get a clue. But those people now might click on this article thinking it's friendly. Then he methodically evidence of why you could and should, of course, deny the need for tougher gun laws in the wake of the Vegas slaughter. So, brilliant. That's my point. So if you have something that is, let's say you have an event. I hosted, over 300 seminars and events for small business owners. Over the last 6 years I was in Chicago, thousands and thousands of business owners attending, and I was always trying to get the point across to them that the doing of your business, getting better at the doing, the deliverable, the whatever you do, you're at the doing, being a doctor, being a lawyer, being a plumber, being a whatever you do in your business, that's the, I call it the ante to get in the game. Everybody's excellent at that. Everyone will say, I have excellent product, excellent service. Like, that's what you put in your marketing. Come buy from me because I have excellent product. You all say that. Oh, the food's great at the restaurant. The service is great. And, you know, we really care for our business. And we really, yeah, who doesn't say that? Show me the ad where the plumber says, we don't give a crap about our, we're always late. We smoke drugs on the way in. We never have the right tools. We overcharge and we never do a great job and we don't guarantee anything. So call us and you're out of luck. Like, no, everyone says that crap. So that doesn't matter. What matters is where the money is made is in the market. But 90-whatever% of business owners, in my experience of working with tens of thousands of them, is they don't get it. They don't realize that. So they get angry and frustrated that, like, hey, but I'm a really good whatever, and that guy over across town who's not as good as me is making a ton more money. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. You're marketing. So I had to get this contrarian point of view across to business owners who are in their you know, in a cave. They got their head in the ground thinking, I'll just keep getting better at the doing of my business. That must do the trick. If I just go to one more continuing ed or get one more certification or stick around so I can say I'm locally owned and operated 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, at some point this will matter. Like, no, it'll never matter. Never matter. I can take a kid fresh out of a trade school, just bought his first wrench, and have him take the entire town and make more money than pretty much every plumber in the town combined within probably about 6 months doing some effective marketing. Now, of course, I won't help somebody who purposely has a crappy product or service. I'm not unethical. I won't help those people. But pretty much everyone claims they have an excellent product or service. Well, I can help any one of them to die, and I do all the time. I help my clients to dominate their marketplace. But I had to get this contrarian message across that stop going to networking meetings. All you're going to do is meet other people that need to go to networking meetings because they don't know how to do marketing to generate high-quality leads. So they're always going to networking meetings, going up to people and going, hey, if you ever need a plumber, call me. If you know anyone that ever needs a plumber. And this grunt work is how they do their business. So they, if you say networking meeting, they're flocking to it. Well, I said, I got to say I'm holding a networking meeting. And, of course, there'll be some networking, right? People will show up earlier talking, and then I'll take a break halfway through and say, now, do some networking. And afterwards, hey, you know, I'm done, and I'm going to take off, but you guys can stay here and network. You know, there's a lobby, there's a bar, there's a restaurant, you know. So I'm not certain, like I said, I'm not going to lie and mislead people. There's networking going on. But in between the networking, I'm going to attempt to get my point across into their hard-headed brain that, like, marketing is the cure for networking. Networking is, like, the worst business marketing plan in the world. Like, I'm going to do all this grunt work, and the day I stop going to networking meetings, I don't make any money. Second of all, who am I meeting at these networking meetings? Other losers like me, basically losers in the game of building a business, because my clients don't go to networking meetings. I don't go to networking meetings unless I'm speaking, or unless it's an extremely high-level networking meeting, like it costs $5,000 or $10,000 to get in the room. That I'll go to because I want to do connecting with high-functioning entrepreneurs. I don't want to do networking with people that want to walk around and hand out business cards and say, if you know anybody, because I don't have any leads, so I don't know anybody wants your thing because I don't know anybody. I don't know how to generate leads. I don't have any customers, but, man, I'm begging all day, and I'll go to these networking events. So I could have said, hey, I have the anti-networking event. If you hate networking, come to my event. No one would have come. And besides, I'd be preaching in the choir. Those people would all know I already do excellent marketing. They wouldn't need to come and hear what I have to say. They wouldn't need my help. They wouldn't get any clients. So I, similar to this article, would say, hey, I'm having an event where you can come and network and meet lots of other business owners and also learn about marketing. And so I knew they came for the networking, but they got marketing help. Make sense? So that's what's called, we give them what they want. We sell them what they want. Remember what it's called. It's called, we sell them what they want, but then we give them what they need. We don't sell them what they don't want. Good luck to that. Good luck to me ever filling a room with telling people, hey, come to a marketing event. Like 1% of business owners understand that's the key to making money, so the room would be empty. But if I say, hey, come where they can meet lots of people and lots of networking, then I have photos on my websites and my flyers and brochures and newsletters of all the networking going on. They didn't have, like, I had a couple of photos, I guess, of people sitting in seats listening to me, but I was sure to instruct all my photographers, take photos of the action. When I say break, get ready to take photos. Everyone stands up. Everyone's talking to each other. Everyone's meeting. You see old, young, black, white, male, female, tall, short, any kind of, wow, what a mix. What a networking going on. I knew, and any people, my clients and anyone that had been to my events knew, that's a break from the stuff that actually works. The effective marketing of your small business. That's a break where, yeah, on the break, what am I going to do? Sit alone in a corner and sulk? Some people did, of course. They just sit there on their phone, or they go to the bathroom and hide out, or go in the hall and smoke a cigarette, or go outside. But people with a clue were like, hey, let me meet some other sharp people. And it wasn't just networking. It was, I heard this person, Steve pointed out that person's very successful, whatever, and this person asked intelligence, and I'm going to make a beeline for them on a break. I'm going to connect with the right people. I'm not going to walk around and think I got to network now. And somehow, if I meet a person, I mean, once in a while you do. You meet somebody who can help you. it's a, again, crazy, haphazard, anti-marketing plan if there ever was one. But anyway, so that's how I use the curiosity approach. Use it with all my clients. You'll see it in headlines. You'll see it right here in the headline for today's Foundation Friday is, this is a brilliant example of the curiosity approach. I didn't say what it is. I could have said, you know, just go look at that article, or I could have just posted all about the article, but I want people to watch the video. I use the curiosity approach, and I hope you do the same. Now I'm going to go to the comments, questions, concerns. Everett is here. Dominic, Patrick Keen is here. David Linton, Zeta is here. Greg Bowen, Matt Linklater. We got some really high superstar entrepreneurs are here. And Nathan says, he's still talking about the golden rhino fixing thing, which I'll check it out. He says, basically, it's all about embracing past mistakes and the wrinkles and imperfections of our past that makes us who we are. Yeah, I got it, right. I will turn the negative into a positive and make the rhino better than he ever was. Nathan, another comment, says, that's a straight-up solid headline. It needs to reach the people who disagree with it, and that headline did it. And I'm going to assume that Nathan is super sharp, and he posted that before I said it and explained it. Way to go, Nathan. And then he says, it joins them with their current thoughts, takes them by the hand, and leads them elsewhere. Exactly. And then he says, haven't read the article, just judging by your description. So, Nathan, get it. I hope you do, too. I don't see any other questions, comments, concerns. But, again, if you go to my Facebook page, scroll down. If you're right here live on the video, you can scroll down and see it and see all the comments and see that that's exactly as I said and as Nathan said. It invites people with a different point of view than the author, than that entire website. I want to give up as much of my personal. I laugh even thinking about it. I want to give up as much of my personal freedom as possible. There's actually millions of Americans have been brainwashed into believing that. In other words, we have come a long way since the founding of this country, have we not? In fact, a long way since the Manifest Destiny Move West, which was also all about personal freedom. It's only been like 150 years or so of this slavery mentality. I guess when slavery was technically outlawed by the Emancipation Proclamation, people declared, but I like slavery. I like being told what to do. I like being taken care of by somebody. I don't like being sold and whipped and all that crap, of course. I'm not talking about real slavery. I'm talking about basically giving up your freedom to a boss to tell you what time to come in and what clothes you have to wear. They certainly wouldn't say wear some stupid red Hawaiian shirts every day and don't shave. I mean, if I had a boss other than me, likely I couldn't do this, right? I probably couldn't even shoot my video now that it's dark and the sun has already set. They'd say, shoot it earlier in the day, dude, when there's good lighting. And now, you know, the top of your head is blinding people that are watching this. So, however, I'm pro-personal freedom. I'll record this video any damn time I want. I'll wear any stupid shirt I want. I'll shave whenever I feel like it. I'll sleep when I'm tired. I'll eat when I'm hungry. Heck, I'm going to do what I want. That's why I live in America. America's all about that. It's about freedom, folks. Get a clue. However, that's my point for today. I find I'm going to backtrack and beat a dead horse, and so I'll let you go. So without further ado, that's it for Foundation Friday. As you can see, this is an advanced tip. So kids, don't try this at home if you don't really understand or know what you're doing. If you don't understand it, even after I kind of beat it to death, hey, thanks for all the likes there. I guess that's people understand it. Oh, but if not, you know, shoot me a message. Shoot me an email, Steve Cypress. And, you know, I can't, obviously, I'm working with clients and doing some pretty important things, and otherwise I'm enjoying my life and doing whatever the heck I want, but I still love to teach. And my mom is a school teacher, and I feel the calling to teach. So I still take time out of every week to get on the phone and help people out or respond to messages and help people out, especially entrepreneurs, small business owners. I love you guys. And I don't want to see you continuing to think you're going to make more money just by getting incrementally better at providing whatever product or service you provide. That ain't going to do it, okay? But getting massively better at your marketing, whoo, that could change your life, and I hope you do it. I'll be back tomorrow with Success Story Saturday. Thanks for being here today on Foundation Friday, and thanks for all the likes, the comments. Thanks to everyone here and watching on the replay. I'm getting ready to click the button, and I'll be back here tomorrow on Success Story Saturday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.